for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, I have asked two of my favorite podcasters to discuss my favorite TV show. To discuss Miami Vice tonight, I have Tim and Mark from Vice of Miami. Hello, boys.
Wait a minute.
How
we're
you doing,
doing Miami
Aaron?
Vice? I thought we were doing Jaws 3D. Wait a minute. Is this overtime?
No overtime.
I just listened to that. I think it was last week you put that out.
Now, what possessed the two of you to decide to do a Miami Vice podcast? Because I've listened to a lot of Miami Vice podcasts, and yours is my favorite. And to me, it's the most, it's definitely the most informative. It's funny. It's interesting. It's concise, which is a difficult thing to do for a lot of people who are in the podcasting world. So.
Oh, thank you for the kind words, right, Tim? I mean,
yes.
As we've explained a couple of times, we're just two schmoes who had an idea. At least I had the idea, you know, doing a podcast after listening to, you know, many other podcasts out there, kind of like, you know, comedy ones, sick distorted stuff. You know, I'm into, you know, airplanes and saw this and some private pilot stuff, you know, Steve O'Knievel, Martin Pauly, you know, I watch them on YouTube, but more specifically, I listened to this podcast about MASH, the TV show from back in the day, probably when you were just a little kid, Aaron, probably not even born yet. Back then.
I love MASH so much.
It was the MASH 4077th podcast. And one of the hosts was Kenny Mittleder. I know I'm butchering his last name. I'm sorry if you're listening, Kenny. But I listened to that because I connected basically the TV show MASH with my dad when he served in Vietnam. He wasn't a doctor by any means. He was just a regular office guy. I don't know if he was in the office pool, whatever. But anyway, that was my connection with my dad watching MASH. So I found this podcast. I listened to that, and we do the same format that they do. Guest stars, trivia, stuff like that, fun facts. And I absolutely loved it. So we got in I mentioned this to Tim and said, hey, you listen to this MASH podcast. Tell me what you think. He said it was pretty cool. And I said, what do you think about Miami Vice? Now, 84 to 89-ish, I was in my early teens. Oh. And this show was pretty, I mean, it was definitely hot back in the day. I'm like, hey, we could do something like that. Well, I found the wiki. I'm like, there's all this information we could have at our fingertips. I bought the box DVD set. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, Tim, what do you think? Think we could do this? And, you know, what do you think about it, Tim?
Well, I remember when you brought the idea to me, and it started with, I don't even think I had the box set DVDs that I had bought, watching it on Tubi, all the different things.
Right.
And then it would keep cutting the show off. It was on Peacock. They would keep
right.
cutting it off. So, all right, I got to buy the DVD. The problem was my computer did not have a DVD player. So I had to buy a portable one through Amazon.
Oh.
And I still use that to watch the shows. But for me, with besides doing Miami Vice, and I'm a little bit older than Mark, so I was in maybe sophomore year in college when the show first started. And then when it ended, just as it ended, there's several lost episodes. I never got to see those because I enlisted in the Army. So when all those episodes were being shown, I was in basic training.
Wow.
So when we cover these coming up very soon here on the podcast, it's going to be all uncharted territory for me. But when it comes to just taking it a little bit deeper, Mark and I have been friends for a long time, worked together, We were neighbors together, clowned around
Friends,
for
or
practice.
do you mean knuckleheads?
Yeah, knuckleheads. But I moved during COVID, my wife and I moved down to North Carolina. So to me, doing this podcast was, besides doing the concept of doing it, it's a way of staying in touch. It's a
Absolutely.
way
Yeah.
of, because when we before we start the show, just like we did with you, a little bit of banter talking, that's what we talk about. It's like having a phone conversation, and then we get into the episode, and then when we get out of the episode, we do a little bit more, just conversation. But it's that maintaining human connection, even though we're about 700 miles away.
Right. It's also about in the beginning, decompressing over weeks. I mean, Tim knows my story's going on here. I know his story's going on over there. So it's kind of, like you said, keeping that connection. But as far as Miami Vice, at least for me, I think that was the only cop show, I guess you could say, that I really liked.
Okay.
Because I mean, there was all these other ones out there, Hill Street Blues, Magnum PI, Cagney Lacey, and all that. I caught a couple and it's like, that's not me. That's not me. But then you've got this music in Miami Vice. You've got this style, right? The fashion sense. And I had some clothes like that back in the day. So it connected with me. It caught on. So I'm like, hey, this is a good show. I didn't religiously watch every single episode because me being, in the middle teens, going out with friends and stuff, but it was basically the cop show that I liked, and I made a point to catch the reruns at least or whatever. So, again, it was the music, the fashion, the cars. I remember, going to the malls back in the day, into the bookstores, grabbing a copy of the magazine called Rob Report. It's basically stuff we can't afford, even we put all our money together, and just looking at all the Ferraris in the back that people are selling, all the Porsches and stuff like that. It's like, someday, just someday. But it was this show that you could kind of pretend that you were there, at least I can, driving this fast car with some cool music going down.
It's funny you
Edit.
brought up the fact that you guys, this is your way of maintaining your communication and your friendship. And Hillary and I went through that too, because Hill used to live here. And we used to record all of our episodes on my bed. Every single one was recorded. She would sit right here and I'd be here and we put the mic down and we just passed the mic back and forth. And then she started a business out in South Carolina. She moved to South Carolina and then I'm still in Florida for now. So yeah, that's when we decided that we were going to get a Zoom account and all that. So
There you go. There you go.
I'm
But
fine.
Kenny, like I can't, give him props enough. He was very helpful. He's a post-production supervisor. I forget what company out in Hollywood. They do a lot of shows. And he was like any question Tim or I had. I mean, he was boom. He had the answer.
So, Tim, what was your background with Miami Vice? Like, did you watch it in real time back in the day?
Oh, absolutely. That we were glued to the TV every Friday night watching it. And we had it, me and my brother had a friend, Larry. We'd all go back and forth. But I bet Mark did not go to Water Tower Place, Marshall Fields, and buy Miami Vice suits.
No. All my stuff was at Orland Square Mall, JCPenney.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, I told my wife about this when we started this podcast, that me and my brother had it, but we never wore them in public. We wore them in our basement, and she just laughs hysterically. You guys are idiots.
That's amazing.
I didn't have a suit, but I did have a white jacket that kind of went with everything.
So yeah, the show, like I didn't watch it in real time because I was five. But I did, however, got into it by randomly listening to Crockett's theme. Like I had heard Crockett's theme and I thought, this is the greatest piece of music I've ever heard. And
Absolutely.
then I put it on a loop when I slept. So
Oh
that
my God.
year when they did the Spotify Wrapped, it came on and it was like, your most listened to song was
With Crockett's
Crockett's
theme.
theme, which you listened to 1,620
Oh my
hours. Yeah.
God.
It was ridiculous because I would just put it on a loop and go to sleep to it. So
I could handle that.
I figured, okay, if I'm, doing this, let's see where this came from. And I was having a rough day, and my fiance was like, I got you something for Christmas, but you're having such a rough day, I'm gonna give it to you now. And he
There we
had
go.
gotten me the Blu-ray Miami Vice set, and he's like, let's get into it, because he had never seen it.
Nice.
So it was like we bonded over this, and now he's a PMT, he's a Philip Michael Thomas guy, you know. I'm a Crockett girl.
There you go.
But now it's a thing. Now it's a thing that we do. So yeah, but it is my favorite show of all time.
Well,
Rocket's theme is my ringtone.
Oh, that is cool.
You could pick it up, go look, just search for it and put it on your download it to your phone
Fast
if you want
cars.
it.
Okay. As I said, dreaming of these fast cars and all that, listening to music, that Crockett's theme back in the day was, one of these days I'm going to be. Maybe even if I just rent a Ferrari and fly down the highway, and Crockett's theme was one of the ones I'm going to play. I've yet to
Yeah.
do it one of these days before I die. Bucket
And
list thing.
there's
But yeah,
something
Crockett's
about
theme. Yeah.
there's you mentioned the music, right? And I think the thing that really solidified my love for the show 100% is the choice of music. And before Slink went and bought the Blu-ray, he asked me, he goes, go online, do your research, and make sure that this has the original soundtrack, because you're going to be very mad if you get those Blu-rays and they've taken everything out, a la Northern Exposure. And I was just so happy so to have all that original music. So yeah.
Yeah, the music was definitely part of it. I mean, you had all these music stars, not necessarily performing, but all these music stars in the episode, like Little Richard. Don't forget the James Brown episode. I mean, I know we're going to get into it, but
I mean,
James
that's on,
Brown,
I think,
Miles
everyone's
Davis. I
list,
mean,
isn't
Miles Davis.
it? Miles Davis, Phil Collins, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Willie Nelson, Frank Zappa, Gene Simmons. Like I
Heather
said, they didn't
Tucci.
perform.
Okay, so these are the episodes that solidified our love and sometimes our distrust in the series.
As
So.
Tim and I call those, why did they write these episodes?
That's a good
Right?
one. Yeah,
Why did they
yeah,
write these?
yeah. Some of them have actually like induced anger in Slink. Like we watched one, and
Really?
he was like, "I can't believe this." He goes, "Fuck Dick Wolf," and
Oh.
I was like, "Easy killer, easy." Like we've committed.
Yes,
We have to
absolutely.
go for it.
An open mind.
I will start with Tim. What is one of your top favorite episodes?
Right, so I have just when I was scratching notes, I got three of them, but we'll do it how you want to do in the
Yep.
flow.
Yeah, you want to
But
do one and then me and then Mark and we'll just, yep.
we'll keep going back. Okay. For me, no matter what, it's always going to be the pilot episode, Brother's Keeper,
Ooh.
because it set the tone for the series. When Crockett said, and we remembered this and we were repeating it when we watched it in real time, 5,000 street
5,000
corners
street
on
corners.
Greater Miami, and Gumby here's
Gumby
got to
here's got
pick
to pick
ours.
our
It
corner.
set the tone. It set the characters, everybody, Rodriguez. It set it. You cannot beat this episode, especially with In the Air Tonight as one of the soundtrack. You cannot beat that one.
So good. Oh my God. All right. I know you guys are going to show me up. I get it. I get it. I'm a novice in this department as far as this goes, but mad respect, because that's actually a really, really, really good episode. My first one is Sons and Lovers, season 2, episode 23. And main reason is because the suspense of that episode is so thick that you can slice it up and eat it. The with John baby John Leguizamo. And this was also an episode where I kind of learned that you never get attached to anyone Tubbs finds remotely attractive or wants to spend the rest of his life with ever. So, is it
Stay
really?
away, ladies, stay away.
Oh no, and between him and Don Johnson, like I learned my lesson, right? But it was always terrible because it was like, oh, Tubbs found a lady, and then it was just not good, you know? So
And he, well, allegedly he was the daddy, right? Of the little kid.
yes,
He was.
he's the Calderon Jr. Yeah. He's supposed to be the daddy. But like the episode obviously has this insane conclusion of which we will not spoil here. However, it ends with this amazing Phil Collins song, Long, Long Way to Go.
Oh,
And
yes.
it's so, and they have them walking in slow
Yes,
motion, and he's
yes.
got the sunglasses on, and it is just perfect television in my opinion. So that would be my that's my topper right there.
You can't go wrong with you can't go wrong with Phil Collins, especially a song
Nope.
like that.
Really
You know, I
can't.
mean, yes, we got, you know, In the Air Tonight, but this is, you know, it set the scene for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, Mark,
So is it
it's
my
your turn.
turn?
It is.
Okay, my gotcha. My number three, I guess you could say, is Season 1, Episode 2, Heart of Darkness. This is where, you know, Crockett and Tubbs work with an undercover FBI agent, you know, to bring down a porno ring, basically Ed O'Neill. Oh, jeez, Peg, I'm dealing in porn now. Jeez, no more shoe sales. But this was, as Tim said, Brother's Keeper, you know, solidified the series. This, in my opinion at least, solidified Crockett and Tubbs working together. This was their first like real case as Tubbs being down here, you know, working with the Vice team now out fresh from New York. So this was their first really big case. And Ed O'Neill, you think he was just going to be kind of like a boob, kind of aloof like he was in, you know, Married with Children. But this was more than that. I mean, he went deep, 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 deep with R.E. Lawson, aka R.E. Rollins, you know, playing a role too well. And he didn't know when or how to come back. You know, this was way deep. And this will run a theme in my three, but it was, you know, think Poltergeist. Go into the light, don't go into the light. Who knows? Ed did a great job. And like I said, the first partner job of Crockett and Tubbs, I don't think you could get any more solid than that as far as setting up the partnership.
Amazing. Great choice. Yeah, that was also, it was hard coming up with the list because I was going down the thing and I went, oh, this one. And then I was like,
Yes, exactly.
But if we were to do a top five each, we would be here all night.
Yes.
All right, Tim, it's all you, baby.
All right. My second one is also in season 1, Evan. And well,
Yes.
first of all, this episode was written by Paul Diamond, and he reached out to us
Our
because
buddy.
he's our buddy Paul, and we interviewed him. He had some part in writing this, but he was given the principal billing for that. But he also really he knew more about Phil the Shill because he wrote that one. But because Evan had to deal with the topic of suicide. And it's something that's near and dear to my heart because when I was a firefighter, I had to respond to the suicide of one of our colleagues, and since then become peer support mental health advocate. So, I mean that one really tugged at the heartstrings for me, and it just simply because of that.
Yeah, that's it's that's it's also on my list. That's my number one, but my that's such a good movie. Oh my God, that episode is just so amazing. My number two, I guess, is Rites of Passage, Season 1, Episode 6. This was the episode that just kicked it for me. Like it really I love Pam Grier. I loved seeing her. I love her acting. I love it. Like John Turturro as the pimp, baby Turturro, and him him seducing her sister into prostitution with, just like cocaine and fashion,
Right.
and
Yeah.
it's just a it's an interesting episode. But then it gets this you get this gut punch with, the near conclusion, right?
Right,
And
right.
it's set to "I Want to Know What Love Is," which changed that song for me so hard.
Really?
Oh,
Really?
yeah, that song, growing up, I'd seen
A
that
good
video.
song, but wow.
Oh, I love
Okay.
it, but that seen that I'd heard that song like a million times, and I always associate the video with it, right? Because I always associate, like Lou Gramm just, somehow
Oh, right.
pissed
Yeah,
off a
yeah.
girl, and now she's like, "Oh, you know what? I think I want Lou Gramm." And she's like driving through New York
Right.
traffic, and and there's a gospel playing, all of the things, right? I always thought of it as this like big love kind of thing. But when I saw it in Rites of Passage,
Right.
it is at this pivotal moment in the show, and it just the opening chords of it as this killer is, walking up these stairs and going towards the, and it's like, "I gotta take a
Right.
little time, I wanna look around." And you're like, "Whoa, this totally changed this." And then to have Tubbs be holding Valerie, be holding
Right.
Pam Grier during that scene, and it's playing and it's just amazing. And then there's that amazing scene where Crockett has to pick up his giant cell phone and call the hotel,
Right.
the Fontainebleau where they're staying, and say, "Hey, this happened." It was just so amazing. And then the show concludes with this fantastic climax also, which is great. So yeah, it's one of my that's mm-mm, that was the one where I was watching it and I went, "Oh, this is my show."
If I remember right, Mark, in our trivia and things,
Sparking things.
does not
You're really sparking things. Maybe you should change my
the
stuff.
does not Pam Grier and Philip Michael Thomas share the same birthday?
I read that on IMDb. I didn't know if it was right or not, because I can edit IMDb,
They do.
they do. Okay, that's cool. All right, Mark, take it.
My second one, if you're ready for me,
Yes,
we
I
can let one
am.
go. Okay. Season 2, episode 3, Out Where the Buses Don't Run. This is another one where a cop or ex-cop goes off the deep end, essentially, and he stays there. Bruce McGill as Hank Weldon, absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. I mean, you've got this. He's kind of like dropping breadcrumbs, I guess you could say, all episode. Here's a little thing of this, here's a little thing of that. I'm kind of giving clues of what I did, but I'm really not going to give it up. We think he's normal. He's bouncing back between lucidity and wacko. But like I said, I think he was really reaching out. Maybe his subconscious, his deep conscience, had enough. And like I said, he let those breadcrumbs for Crockett and Tubbs to find his crime and his other partner's crime of the past. I mean, it was very simple episode, not too many really way plot twists, we've seen through this series. This was just kind of cut and dry. Maybe this guy was really wanting to help, but you never know. He was just wacko. I don't know. Was just one of those good ones that was so simple and so cut and dry, clear and concise, where you knew the story and they played it well. They definitely just played it well.
Completely agree. Great episode. It's such a great episode.
Mark, what does that remind you of? Burying people in walls or other places?
Right,
It happened
right.
on this date in 1978, Chicago history, Mark.
Was it today? I thought it was yesterday.
Or whenever it was.
Yeah, I think it
It was
was.
that serial killer John Wayne Gacy. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, because you guys are Chicago. Okay, right.
Oh,
I
yeah.
gotcha. I
Yep.
gotcha. Oh, yes. Oh, shit. Is it the anniversary? I didn't even know.
Well, that he was arrested. It was whatever. You sent it to me today, so I don't
Oh,
know.
I think it was yesterday, or maybe actually the day before, when he was actually arrested. I mean, obviously the crimes happened over a few years, I think, but
Oh, many years. My third one was from season three, Down for the Count, parts one and two. Lou Rodriguez was one of a main character that was killed off, but then he was what was in a half a dozen episodes in season one. This one really was a major shocker that Zito dies in this episode. And that for me, it struck a chord. And then when you move into part two, you got the OCB team, especially Stan, who they're going through their stages of grief in their own way, but then you get pragmatic Marty that says, grieve, but you got to move forward. Basically, do your grieving in private. And that's how things were handled back then. And I went through that experience of not having some type of sports system when my friend killed himself. And so I went through 16 years of undiagnosed PTSD. And it just that struck me that when I saw that, how he wanted them, and obviously they had to, but he wanted them to actively suppress their grief in the workplace, which, again, that's the way things were done then. But that was a heart-wrenching episode for me. It was a total shocker in the Miami Vice world, and I'm sure everybody was talking about it the next day after that episode aired.
Yeah, absolutely. When I watched that like on my Blu-ray, I was very upset. And I was like, 'cause like Slink was cooking in the kitchen and I was like, I think Zito's dead. Like I couldn't wrap my brain around it because I was like, why? But then I read about John Diehl and wanting to not be on the show 'cause he didn't want to be, the clown, so
During our review, I thought they could have done it better.
yeah, I feel like they kind of did him dirty.
You're gonna off a character.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But like we like Tim, what we described, they never really laid out in the pre-story that he had a drug problem, to where we were led to believe maybe he shot himself up. I mean, obviously they probably just jammed
They
the
did.
needle in his arm. But were we led to believe that he had this drug problem and everything was closing in around him? Maybe that was what they were going at. Who knows? That's why I think it could have been done better or a different way. If you're going to kill him off, it could have been better. Sorry, just
Agreed.
saying.
Nope, completely agreed. I feel like they did him dirty. I feel like that was a kind of a rough way to go out, but now I get it. So my last one is absolutely Evan is season one, episode 22, which I love this episode because I feel like William Russ as Evan, he does such an amazing job. He's got that fabulous hair, in that episode. I knew him. So all I guess people who are younger than me knew him as Corey's dad on Boy Meets World.
Right.
But I knew him from a little erotic thriller from back in the day called Traces of Red, which he did with Jim Belushi. Well, it's hard because if you can stomach Jim Belushi being a sexual, performer in this movie, because that's it ain't
Okay.
William Russ, I'll tell you that. Then I say recommend. But yeah, it's an interesting one to get through. But he's so good in that, and then as a horror fan, he's also the devil in The Unholy as well. So he's
Okay,
just
gotta
a
see that.
really, yeah, that's a fun little weird someone seducing the priests like movie. It's just very, very odd. But
Get away from the altar, boys.
he plays this weird like Billy Idol hair earringed, character in it. So he's just a really good actor. But the episode itself, it dealt with issues of homophobia, of friendship, of loyalty, of guilt and shame, and a lot of stuff that men struggle with but rarely get a chance to deal with or process.
But
It's
like
not.
Tim was saying in the last episode, you just bury it. You don't deal with it. And if you do,
Right.
you deal with it on your own time in your own way, but you bury
And there was also something really beautiful about the fact that Crockett was like, I should have done something. I should have said something, you
right.
know, and had been carrying around this guilt of that, where and then Evan was then carrying around this guilt of, you know, I'm a bad person for the things that I said and I did. And so clearly I have a death wish now, you know, because I didn't go to
Right.
therapy. I'm just waiting for a bullet, you know, and just like comes down to that scene where he talks with Crockett. He's like, you ever think that there's a bullet with your name on it, Crockett?
I was just gonna say, huh? Is it your turn? Got one for you? Got one for me? Huh?
Yeah.
And then it came full circle back to that in a
Yes.
bullet for Crockett.
And a bullet for Crockett, right? And then and then the music, you know, the other thing is it ends on this Peter Gabriel song, Biko, which I knew
Yes.
nothing about apartheid or the history of South Africa. So when I heard the song, I was like, I'm gonna go look it up, you know, and did some research and learned a few things, and was just very fascinated by it. It's one of my favorite songs now. So,
It is very good. I like it.
all right, Mark.
Paul, he said Evan was they were Tim, Eva, and they were going to make the main character female. Little tidbit
Oh,
on that.
wow. Okay.
Yeah. So my number one good one, season 5, episode 2, Redemption and Blood. Now, as I said, I got this reoccurring theme. There's nothing deep-seated in it for, on my end, but it's a reoccurring plot line. Cop goes over and comes back. This is where Burnett comes back to being Crockett.
Nice.
He's off the deep end. He's playing this part for a few episodes. And I think it just speaks for himself, you know. He just, you know, in shooting Tubbs in the lighthouse, I think, you know, things are coming back to him. He knows who he is, allegedly. And this great song, you know, Don't Give Up by, this was, for me, this was a personally a big song. I don't want to say teenage angst, but teenage issues, we'll just say that. And a lot of friends stuck together and they played this for each other. That's pretty much it. I mean, nothing bad, nothing negative, but it's just the typical teen stuff, you know? But again, Crockett was so deep over where he was thinking he was basically the drug dealers. And everyone's looking for him. They finally find him. And I'm thinking, and Tim, you can remember in my review of this, was this an excuse for Crockett to just pretend to be Burnett and start taking out all these bad people, all these bad cops? Was Crockett
Ooh.
still Crockett and not really Burnett, but he was portraying Burnett, saying, "Hey, you know what? Everyone's getting away with this for all these years. I'm going to take out my vengeance." Now, we know Crockett doesn't do that. You know, that's not Crockett. That's not Tubbs. But it was one of those go with me here type things. Is it possible? He just found this excuse. Hey, I'll pretend I'm this guy. I don't know. It would be a good plot line.
But then he had to go back to him shooting his partner.
Right. But again, maybe he knew that Tubbs was going to have that bulletproof vest on when he shot him in the chest.
So true. Okay, so are we now
Especially this deep.
are we
But who
completely caught
knows?
up, or are we on to honorable mentions, or are we completely
No, we
did
got three no-go episodes
Oh yeah. There
that we absolutely would never watch again.
Do we want to do the honorable? Are we going to do
Oh,
the
we did the
honorable
honorables
mentions
first, sure.
of our good ones at least
Yeah, honorable
first?
mentions of good
Hey,
ones,
it's your
please.
show.
No,
This is your show,
that's
Aaron.
fine. Guys.
You live in the warm weather down there by Mahuffer's and Friendly's Tavern.
Yes, I drove right past Friendly's the other night and it was just jumping.
Back open, thank God. Got to get down there soon enough.
Drinks on me. okay, yes, absolutely. Tim, go ahead with your honorable mention of good ones. Well,
All right, so one of my first ones for me was El Viejo, season 3, Willie Nelson as a Texas Ranger. And Crockett was just enthralled by this whole thing. He just had this bromance with a Texas a captain and the Texas Rangers. Love that episode. That was a great one.
You could skip me in because I've got El Viejo too. You know, we've got Willie Nelson and Crockett being simpatico. I mean,
Oh, what a great
if I,
episode.
I'm sure if Crockett could go back in time, he'd want to be a ranger. I mean, a real Texas ranger on horses and stuff like that. So I'd have to agree with Tim. That definitely is, that is on my list of honorable mentions. So I hate to go out of turn here, Aaron, but
It's fine. It's totally
I
fine.
like you said previously, we probably have same on the same list. A lot of them on the
Yeah,
same list.
there's going to be some like, spillover or
Crossover.
absolutely crossover. Yes, definitely. So my honorable mention, one of my honorable mentions is Forgive Us Our Debts, where we first
Okay.
get introduced to Frank Hackman, and I, bro, I did not see that coming.
Right. Neither did I.
No, not at all. Not at all. Did I see that coming? And I loved it. I loved it. I got real like, but then I absolutely loved it. And it was one of those episodes that I couldn't wait to show Slink because I was like, like when you're watching it with somebody and you're waiting for them to respond,
Right. You stare at them. What are you gonna react? You're gonna react.
Right. It's like, oh my God, oh my God. No, the ending to that was just was such a gut punch. And then you get that Peter Gabriel, you do we do what we're told. And it was just it was amazing. And then of course obviously Hackman comes back and later in the worst way possible. But I mean, everything from the moment that they show up at the governor's house, like they show up on boats and they're just like, we're
Right.
gonna advocate for this guy. And I'm like, yay! But
Right.
it, oh, woo! Yeah, that was a that's a
It was
doozy.
good. It was
Yeah.
good. I guess I could throw another one in there. Oh, Tim, you're gonna say something? I'm sorry. Cut you off.
I also had Forgive Us Our Debts on my list as honorable
Okay.
mention.
Perfect. Perfect. All
Well,
right.
I had Bushido.
Oh.
Bushido. Pretty much anything Castillo centered is great. And I think this one is one of the tops.
Yeah, that's
Just Castillo,
just
just Castillo.
Castillo, because
We'll just say that.
EJO. Edward James Olmos is amazing. So. Oh my God. All right, Tim, it's all you.
I got two more on my list. So the third one would be Smuggler's Blues, because who
Oh,
doesn't
ooh.
love Glenn Frey?
Glenn Frey. So great. Like just like listening to a just like listening to a really stoned hippie for the entire 45 minutes of it, and you're just like, I'm here for it, buddy.
Not to mention the Eagles, so we won't even you don't even need to go past that.
Wait, you might Aaron's probably gonna get a copyright strike because you said the word Eagles.
We're not on YouTube. We're fine.
We get copyright. We don't, do we get claims? Something like that. For all the songs we
Oh, yes,
play,
we do.
we get claims.
I don't know if we ever
Oh.
did for anything from the Eagles because we really didn't play any songs from them, but they're very protective of their stuff.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Very protective.
Okay. All right. All right. So, is it okay, Tim, you did yours? Okay, and then I have definitely Miami. The season two, episode 13. Yes, and only because Ted Nugent chews scenery like Slink chews nicotine gum. Like it is he with this long mane of hair, it's just it's ridiculous. And it's a completely like over the top, like sensual, like the part where I swear to God, the part where Don Johnson Slink had a heart attack. He was so horrified by this. When she takes the ice and she like, like traces her body with it, and then she drops it back in his tea. And he grabs the ice cube and starts sucking on it. Slink was just like, oh. That's horrifying to me. So just for sheer scenery chewing and doomed romance, as well as Cry by Godley and Cream,
I say definitely Miami is my second choice there.
Interesting. I've got Phil the Shill is my last one for honorable mentions. Phil the Shill, because Phil Collins,
Nice.
and obviously the biggest star, pop star in the 80s. Even though he created a song for it, but he didn't play music in this episode, perform, I should say. But he was a good actor. I mean, he wasn't stellar in this episode, but he was still good, just like all the other musicians. But just because it's Phil Collins and it's the 80s, so it's got to be a mention. And never mind the fact that we interviewed Paul Diamond, so got to give him props.
Yeah. And
Nice.
I also had Phil the Shill on my list.
That's your other honorable mention? Oh, that's
Yeah,
so
that was my
funny.
last, my animal mentions. Yep.
All right. And then my last honorable mention is Walk Alone. Season 3, episode 4.
Yeah.
Because first of all, with Tubbs, Tubbs is like it opens with Tubbs in bed with a girl, and I'm thinking, oh, this isn't good.
Imagine that.
I'm like, oh, uh-oh, And then some random bullet kills her. She ends up dead, and then he's all of a sudden like completely gung-ho to go undercover in a prison, despite the fact that Crockett's like, don't do this, like,
Right.
but even so, even though everything that they said would happen to him happened, like they said, like
Right.
you will get beat up and it will be bad. It still ends up, when Edward James almost shows up and just, metaphorically kicks the door open, if you will, just he owns that
Okay. Right.
entire
Okay.
ending of that. So, yeah, that was my honorable mention. So
Interesting.
think we're
Very
out of
interesting.
honorable mentions.
No, that was it. That was all of my that's all I
Yeah.
had.
So yes,
It's all I had.
much like Tubbs sweating in any episode, we're gonna have some turkeys. It's gonna happen. So
Yes.
these are the episodes that we would definitely not be watching again. So Tim, take it.
My third one, and it ties into one of your top ones, which was Sons and Lovers, but The Afternoon Plane, where Tubbs wins the trip. And then again, it was a ploy by Orlando Calderon, but it was such the way that it ends, it's almost like a hokey gunfight at the OK Corral. And they could have done it a better face-off between him and Orlando. And besides of that, Vincent D'Onofrio having a very minimal part, I think he could have had a lot more. But I just felt, when he, oh God, Orlando Calderon's coming back and it's coming to a head here. And then it kind of fell flat for me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Agreed. Oh, yeah.
Tucker.
All right. So season 4, episode 4, The Big Thaw. This was the episode where I asked myself why I did this. This was the episode where I went, oh no. just oh no.
Legba.
Yeah, no, two seriously, two groups battle over the possession of a dead reggae singer's frozen body. Like I'm out. I mean, the only good thing about that episode
Is
is
he?
that Alfred,
Can
yeah,
you
Izzy, obviously, but Alfred
be?
Molina, because Alfred Molina is such an amazing actor that he can do so many different things
Right.
and he's always good. He was great in Boogie
What?
Nights. He's great in Promising Young Woman. He's great in Prick Up Your Ears. He's great in all of these other things. So, yeah, to see him, I was like, oh, but that didn't save the whole frozen reggae singer thing.
Didn't save him.
Take it, Mark.
Let's see. My third in my why did they not worth it? Why did I write this? Season 2, episode 7, Tale of the Goat,
Oh,
where
yeah.
Tubbs delves into the world of voodoo to track a drug dealing cult dealer. This was the one at Legba. Okay.
Leg bar.
Okay. We know it was drugs essentially, but everything around this was bleak, in my opinion, at best. They've got some god-awful acting in this, and the story could have gone further. I mean, it had potential, kind of, sort of, but sort of acting skills. And this goes, Tim and I always bring this up. Why is vice involved? Okay, yeah, okay, drugs essentially, but once they knew it wasn't really drugs, it was more voodoo. It back to the street cops, as far as I'm concerned, you know? I mean, I don't know. He stages this whole death or whatever, you know. Why not just send some henchmen, in my opinion? I mean, the bigger, or I should say, the best, quote unquote, dead come back to life Weekend at Bernie's would have been better. Just saying, this, no, and that's it.
Oh God, yeah. Oh, Tim, let's get negative.
Well, Aaron, that also on my list, and if this was my number one, was the big thaw as well. And your assessment of it was right, that it just, especially when the body's floating in that capsule at the end in the water, but the whole thing with Izzy brokering, trying to broker a deal with the Japanese, and then he orders sushi or something like that, and whatever it was. But that was my top one. So I'll save the middle one for last,
Oh my God.
which was just as dumb.
Oh yeah. So my second one that I will never watch again is Freeverse season 2, episode 21. This episode seemed to go on for a very long time.
Very long, too long.
And I don't, it was the first episode where Slink looked at me and was like, I don't know. He definitely was like, wow, I think we bit off more than we could chew here, pretty eyes, you know, because I was just, and I looked at him and he looked at me and I was like, wow, this episode is really, it's not long because each episode is the same amount of time. But I was just like, this is painful to get through, you know? Nope. Just painful. Just really, really painful.
I liken those type of episodes to chewing gum, where you've got like juicy, a stick of juicy fruit gum. You're like chewing it forever and ever, and there's nothing coming. There's no more flavor. There's no more flavor, but yet you're still chewing that piece of gum. And it's like, why am I chewing this piece of gum still? There's no flavor left to it.
Yeah, there was, I think
I hate those type of episodes.
the only saving grace for it is a thing I love to do. A thing he and I love to do is we love to watch an episode and go, it's the house from, you know, like we go, that's the house from No Exit. That's the house from Shadows in the Dark. That's the house from, you know,
Right.
and then
Right.
verify it, right? So I did enjoy watching that episode and then looking up the address and seeing what the house was worth and, you know, that kind of thing. But that's where it ended.
Yeah, ended. Should have ended 45 minutes ago, right?
Should have been done. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Tim, take us home.
Are you skipping me? Yeah,
Oh, Mark,
Mark
I'm
went
so
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. But that's okay because I've got the big thought too.
Okay.
Let's just go find a dead dude in a corpse and let's go have some sushi on him. Let's get some food, pop it out
Oh,
there.
so bad.
I mean, the only redeeming value was Izzy in this episode, being the middleman, I guess you could say. He him him and Noogie back in the day, they saved a lot of things for being total toilet flushers, in my opinion. So yeah, big thaw for a second.
I miss that dynamic. Like I miss the Noogie. It's funny because whenever Izzy comes on, Slink calls him Gennaro because he's the lawyer in Jurassic Park.
Right,
So
right.
it's
Or
like,
actually,
oh,
the motel
Gennaro's here.
clerk in the motel clerk in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You got
Oh, that's
$2
cool.
and a watch.
So cool. So cool.
Fun
All
fact,
right.
that motel is about 15 minutes from my house.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so cool. Oh, all right. All right, Tim, do take us home.
Missing Hours.
I think this is all of ours, isn't it?
James Brown, it was good, but Trudy getting abducted by aliens. Again, that had nothing to do with Vice at all. James Brown was much better as the minister of the Triple Rock Baptist Church.
Slide on down to the Chipper Rock and clutch Reverend Cleophas.
Cleophas Brown. Don't get lost when the time comes. Have
Oh.
you seen the light?
Oh my.
What light?
Oh my
The
God.
band.
The band.
Well, anyway.
I'm sorry, Chicago Boys talking about Blues Brothers. Sorry,
You guys are
Aaron.
so funny. That's my mom. It's one of my mom's favorite movies, so.
Excellent. That prison is 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, wow.
Joliet Jake.
Juliet.
Very cool. All right. So, yeah. And then, yeah, mine was also Missing Hours. That's my last one.
Ooh.
I just couldn't do it. I was
Okay.
like, this is so awful. I can't. And I know that Dick Wolf said that that's his favorite episode.
Really? Oh, I didn't catch
Yeah.
that. Oh, all I gotta say is peanut butter.
He's like, I love that episode. I think it's a great episode. I'm like, were you high? Like,
Yeah, maybe taking too much product
oh my
found on the beach.
God. You know,
If you're ready for me, mine was my number one. Tim knows it. Season one, episode 17, The Maze.
Oh, the what? Oh my
Where
God. The
they hold these group of homeless people. They take Tubbs goes hostage with them in this seedy motel, this abandoned motel. It was just, I mean, it's another one of those easy plot lines, that was the only good point. But I mean, the characters, I mean, it was just so lackluster, very, very base. I mean, the helicopter, get a helicopter to the top of the roof. What this isn't Die Hard, okay? You're not crawling through the ducts. No, I mean, no, it was just totally bad. I mean, good character development, in Tubbs playing what he plays best, the Jamaican man, Right?
That's Slink's favorite thing, though, is
Yeah, man.
whenever Philip Michael Thomas does a Jamaican accent, he's
Yeah.
like, "Oh, we're back in the Teddy Prentice days."
Yep. No. No, just no. It this was just I mean, okay, yeah, Missing Hours. That was really way off the deep end, but this one just, in my opinion, just absolutely sucked. Why did they write this?
Yeah. Now,
Because they could.
because they
Yeah,
could.
exactly.
Now, did you guys have any honorable mentions for episodes you will never watch again?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't do
Cows of November,
that. Cows of
December,
October.
October.
That was on my honorable mention list.
It cows of October,
If I had to add one, that would be my honorable mention as well. Cause the only redeeming thing about that
Is he?
was Izzy again playing the cowboy, and they had the theme from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly,
Yeah,
and the
I was just gonna say
Magnificent Seven.
that. I was just gonna say that. I'm thinking Cows of October, and Tim and I have discussed it before, where Izzy and Noogie could have had their own spin-off comedy episode, like a half hour, kind of like the All in the Family and whatever, all those little spin-offs back in the day. Izzy and Noogie could have had their own spin-off, and this should have been an episode of the Izzy and Noogie show. I mean, it was just comedic, It was funny, but it was not. I'm sorry, Bull Jizz is not Vice. Sorry, it ain't. But
It's not.
I just had Definitely Miami as well, because it was just nothing exciting in my book.
Oh, that's funny.
I
That's
know,
good.
and the heat wave. I mean, yeah, it's hot, but from what they were saying, it was really hot in Miami during this. Free Verse. Tim and I always bring this up. Another Miami Vice babysitting job. Has nothing to do with nothing, Vice. They're just babysitting, overpaid babysitters.
Yeah.
And like Tim brought up, the afternoon plane, Calderon, the last Calderon, so to speak. They wanted to take out Tubbs, wrongfully so, because he didn't kill whoever. I'm sorry. But I mean, if you're the last Calderon coming back and you already had two episodes on Calderon, don't you think this should have been much bigger, much deeper, and must have all these different twists? This was just nope. Sorry. Cows of October.
October.
That's right. We are all in agreement. Well, so I would recommend, if anybody wants to jump in to Miami Vice, what I used to do was I would watch an episode and then I would listen to an episode of their podcast of Vice of Miami. So it kind of it was like a little compliment to it, you know.
Thank you.
So I would check out, I would buy the Blu-rays, honestly, because the quality of the Blu-ray is absolutely stunning. You can see light bouncing off of, you know, the Gulf, you know, it's just beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. So get it. Also, when they rebroadcast, some episodes are not there. So, like, you can't watch Evan on Tubi. They've taken it off completely, for homophobic slurs.
Really? I didn't notice that. I don't watch, I mean, I've got the DVD box set, but
Yeah. So,
huh.
yeah, it's no one can, you can't find it. It's really hard to find. So, I would suggest, yes, I would say get the DVDs, get the
Right.
Blu-ray, whatever, and just start from the beginning and enjoy the awesome 80s music and the fabulous
Absolutely.
fashion and the great architecture, and you'll
Yes.
understand why this is my favorite TV show of all time. And it's just great. It's just a fun show to watch, man. And I'm
It
so
is
happy you guys have a whole podcast devoted to it. It makes me so
almost
happy.
over, though. Almost over. Almost
Yeah,
over. We
we're
just
wrapped.
released today, The Lost Madonna, and I think we've got what six more to go.
About
And then we're
that.
doing the season wrap up, and then the series wrap up, and then probably then the movie, which we'd like to do with you, Aaron, because you do movies, and we got to pinpoint how do we do movies. But that's
Okay.
it. That's
Yeah.
it. So
Yeah.
I'm thinking probably spring of next year we'll be Vice of Mammy will be done.
Yeah.
We're
Yeah.
not done, done, done. We're gonna work on something else.
Okay. Okay.
It's in the works.
I just
We're
love it
formulating.
so much. So, all right. If people would like to stalk you on social media, gentlemen, how might they do so on the socials?
Instagram and Facebook, it's at Vice of Miami. Advice of
Perfect.
Miami.
And had you guys had the chance to experience the Miami Vice Museum that just opened up in Miami recently, like a month ago?
No. Last time I was there was in 23.
Okay. Well, damn it, because I
Oh,
wanted to ask
21.
you guys if you'd gone. So, because if it ends up being one room, I am not making a 6-hour drive.
Yeah. Well, it'd be worth it. At least you could go visit the other places,
Some places,
the other
yeah.
locations, the old OCB, which is now a condo tower. You could go there.
Oh,
Gas
man.
station from Evan is
That's
still
still
there.
there. Yeah, it's a
Yeah.
tire shop.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other, one of the clubs, I think the Club Deuce, I think it was. I could be wrong.
Okay.
It's like an art deco, but yeah, that's, and it'll have to be on our list to check out next time. And maybe I keep telling my wife, when we win the Powerball,
We're
we're
gonna
going to be
travel.
living in Miami, downtown in one of the towers, maybe the Aston Martin building. She's like, I'm not living in Miami.
As usual, you guys, anybody out there can find Manic Movie Monday on Instagram under Pups and Podcasts because I accidentally logged out of our Manic Movie Monday account and I can't figure out how to get back in.
Oh,
So if you
I
want
was
to follow.
wondering.
Yeah. Oh no, everyone thought they were like, "Oh God, is the show gone?" Is the, you know, and I was like, "No, I'm just an idiot and I was fucking around with the settings and I logged myself out and then I did not have anything saved at all." As,
Oh,
you know,
that's not good.
no, 'cause I have this fancy new phone that has fingerprints on it and stuff. I mean, it has like a, you know, and they were like, "Nope."
Oh, my God.
Like, okay, never mind. Or just like So yes, if you'd like to follow Manic Movie Monday, please do so on Erin Dawn Murphy's mom because
Yeah, there we go.
that's where it is.
And Murphy's prominent. Where's Murphy at now?
Murphy is asleep on the floor. He's a lazy chunker. He's asleep on the floor right now. I'm sure he'll wake up and he'll have to go pee pee because that's what he usually does. Thank you guys so much for doing this. Thank you for giving me your time and for coming on and humoring me with this because I know you guys are, I love your show so much. So,
Thank you, and you're welcome very much, but thank you very much for thinking of us.
no,
It's definitely
absolutely.
appreciated. At least we have one fan, two
Couple of
fans.
idiots.
Yeah, a couple of idiots here just talking on a microphone, maybe. maybe people listening, who knows?
Fantastic. I love it so much. All right. Keep it here until next week. And we have got a lot lined up for January. We have our sister podcast, Jello Shots, which is coming back with more Italian horror and lots more. And as always, stay
Stay
manic.
manic.